I'm sitting in a six-lane intersection close to home, my blue Subaru station wagon idling at the traffic light. Through the windshield, I see a watery sun going down over the Colorado mountains, red and hazy in the summer sky. A white moving van pulls up in the turning lane to my left. A white paneled truck pulls up on my right. We wait for the light to change. My vision is totally obscured by the two trucks, one on each side of me. The light clicks to green. The trucks don't move. Are they texting or something, I think. I step on the gas. My car accelerates into the intersection just in time to meet a careening green and white garbage truck running a red light. The massive truck smashes into my driver's side post, tearing through my car, atomizing glass, crushing my body with a sickening crash. I am killed instantly. I wake up from the dream. It's the middle of a warm night in June 2011. My bedroom is dark. My heart pounds. The atmosphere in the room feels heavy, like a spiritual weight is pressing down on us. My wife, Elaine, wakes up instantly, feeling something significant has happened. "What was that?" she asks. Still disturbed, I tell her the dream. We fervently, earnestly pray together. Lying there in the dark, we both have the overwhelming feeling the dream means something. Something from God far too important to ignore. Somehow, we just know it. For the next several weeks, we prayed for him to tell us what to do, how to understand it. We were unnerved. We were inquisitive. But the interpretation didn't come. I didn't get it. So as the days went by as usual, we moved on as usual too. But usual didn't last. About 3 weeks later, I pull up to a six-lane intersection. A watery sun descends over the Colorado mountains. The light is red like blood or fire. A white moving van pulls up on my left. A white panel truck comes up on my right. I can't see past them. I've been here before. My mind begins to tremble. Now I get it. The light changes from blood red to green. The trucks stay put. I don't move. I start to count the seconds. 1001. Nothing. 1002. Nothing. 1003. Nothing. 1004. The green and white garbage truck comes from my left, runs the red light, rockets through the intersection with the sound of screeching metal. Then he's gone. Both white trucks move out. I step on the gas and move through the intersection and then immediately pull over. I am nauseous, shaking. In my soul, God speaks to me. I could bring you back home any time. I want you to get serious about telling your story. I took long, deep breaths, letting the oxygen calm me. I had wondered for years why I was alive, for reasons you're about to read. Conversations with my wife and friends, those close to me, were beginning to have a common theme. I think God wants you to tell your story. There, as the car idled by the road and my adrenaline slowly began to ebb, I knew they were right. Denver, Colorado, the mile-high city, a place of crisp mountain air and clear sunshine and ringed by mountains and alpine beauty. I was born here in 1956 at the height of the baby boom, part of an old Denver family. My father bounced from job to job with long periods of unemployment in between. He always seemed unsettled in his world of work. My mother compensated for that, keeping herself constantly busy and largely unavailable. So even though they were there, they weren't really there for me. I was the second of two boys, 2 years apart in age. We grew up essentially as latchkey kids during the times Dad was working. Taking advantage of my parents' physical and emotional vacancy, my older brother abused and tormented me relentlessly. He liked to beat the tar out of me just because he could. Since I had a lot of allergies as a boy, I received frequent injections. My brother would wait for me to get home, get me alone, and punch the injection sites as hard as he could, bruising them and causing them to swell.